Amen. And so it's good to be able to come back and meet with family here and be here on the Lord's Day and just magnify Him. And the presence of the Lord is here. Amen. I said the presence of the Lord is here. Never been a day like our day. You know, God spoke to our hearts, started in 1979, about the nation of Canada. Lots and lots and lots I can say, and those of you who have been around for any length of time have heard me say quite a bit about it. But we went there, it was because we were on assignment with God. We were not just looking for a place to preach, we had places to preach. We'd pastored for 13 and a half years in two different places out in West Texas. And we didn't get run out of those churches. We didn't run out of those churches or leave those churches because they were going down. Like one Pentecostal preacher said, I think I'll stay here at this church. It's going down slower than any church I've ever pastored. That wasn't the case with us. People cried when we told them that God was moving us. They begged us to stay. Kind of like Paul, you know. Paul said, I've got to depart here. And he was over in Ephesus, and they cried, and they understood the persecution was going to wait him and so forth. But, you know, when you're on assignment with God, that's all that matters. Right. You know, there's purpose to your life.
Yes, there is.
And it's more than your 9-to-5 job.
That's right.
We won't talk about all of that. But, you know, my wife and I both were born in Texas, and like the old saying goes, you can take the boy and the girl out of Texas, but you can't take Texas out of the boy and girl. And, you know, it was a few years before we became Canadian citizens. And the reason why we would not become Canadian citizens earlier was because of the laws that America had. You could not hold dual citizenship. But later that was changed, and you did not have to give up your American citizenship to become a citizen of another country, so we became citizens of Canada. And, you know, but I'm a citizen of heaven.
Right.
So, you know, that's the highest citizenship one can have. And you'll never forgive that. You'll never forget that, excuse me. You'll never forget that. This world is not our home. This world is not our home. God in heaven is our home. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, I know in the final analysis, after things are done, set out here on the earth, we will come back to the earth and rule and reign on planet earth. But I want you to know our heart and our affections are not just here. They're there. And we're on kingdom assignment because Jesus came to establish his Father's kingdom in the earth. And that's where we rule and reign.
Right.
And when you understand kingdom principles and kingdom laws, then you operate much higher, on a much higher level of authority, where everything that's going on planet earth, it can affect you, but it doesn't have to dominate you. And so we can reign on a much higher plane when we operate in the kingdom principles. And so, you know, we talk about America, man, you know, I'm very patriotic. It bothers me when people do not show patriotism when we sing the national anthem. Don't take their caps off. Don't put their hand here on their heart.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm very patriotic because I understand what America stands for in the beginning. Now, this is the reason why I like Glenn Beck. You can say whatever you want to say about him. But he is helping America to restore what's been lost.
Yes.
You know, we need restoration. People need to be restored to the Lord, reconciliation, reconciled to God. And that's the voice of Glenn Beck. Somebody says, well, you know, he's this, he's that. Well, you know, let me tell you something. He's using his voice to try to set things right, not tear down. There wasn't one not by him, not one political statement that was made last night. It was all about God. It was all about the country. Come on, somebody. Now, you can get him in another setting. He's got a lot to say about politics. And bless God, we all should. Amen? But I thank God for America. This world would be in bad, bad, bad shape without America.
Yes, it would.
Amen.
Yes, it would.
And we've been listening. It's like when God came down in the garden of the cool of the day to meet with Adam and Eve, and they were over there hiding. And basically, he asked him this. They said, "We were naked. Why didn't you come?" Well, we were naked and we hid ourselves. And basically, what he said to him was, "Who you been listening to? You know who you give your attention to can affect your direction.
That's true.
And you better quit listening to some people. You better quit listening to some of the news." Analyst. Huh? You better quit listening to some of those. Number one, we got to listen to God. We got to know how to ascertain the voice of God. We got to be able to hear what God is saying for this hour. And I thank God for America, but our hope is not in America. Our hope is in God. And I believe, listen to me now, I believe America is the most important nation on planet Earth. And I know a lot of people could say, well, you're prejudiced. And I am, because we are Americans. But at the same time, we know what America stands for. It stands for freedom. It stands for liberty. Amen. And I know in a lot of seasons we've lost our way and we've done some things that we're not proud of. But I want you to know at the core values of our founding fathers in America, we understand in God we trust. We understand that they last night showed a painting of George Washington on his knee there praying, seeking God. And we have not had a true history in our universities and our public education. We've not had true American history. We've been taught a pagan history. That's why I love David Barton. In fact, we got to meet him last night, and he obviously recognized Pastor, and we got to shake his hand, and that was a privilege for me. I've never got the privilege to personally meet David Barton, but he's a great historian. And, I know we've used this so many times, what was said about Esther. You've come into this place for such a time as this. David Barton was raised up for such a time as this. He can give us a good Christian history lesson. Amen? And, that's so important. But having said all of that, I understand the importance of America and the role she plays in the world. But there's nothing that's as important as the local church. More important than America is the local church. After World War II, or kind of right at the throes, right before Hitler was defeated, Japan was defeated, there were some great leaders from Europe that came to America, came here during wartime, and one of them was quoted as saying this: "I came to America to see really what made America great. I went into their massive factories and watched all at that time their technology and how hard they worked and skillful they were and so forth." He said, "But I come to discover that America's strength was not in its factories." And he went on like this and talked about universities and talked about several other things. He said, "It was not till a Sunday that I saw the Americans going into the churches and filling church houses all over the nation. It was only then that I discovered what made America great. Because Americans acknowledge their needing of God.
Awesome.
Now, wasn't a preacher that made that declaration? And you don't have that in your history books now. I had that in my home economics book when I was in the 12th grade. That statement was in there. It wouldn't be in our textbooks now. Because there is an intellectual group out there that's endeavoring to dumb us down. That's why we need the local church, because the local church is the last bastion of truth. We need truth. Are you listening? We need truth. Truth has no agenda. God is truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. That's why the people who are trying to dumb us down, say, there's no absolute truth. They're lying. Let God be true. Let God be true. Anyone who tries to refute him, a liar. Jesus says, I am the truth. I know the truth about God. I know the truth about life. I know the truth about everything. Jesus said that. And it's our connection with Jesus. It's our connection with God that enables us to know the truth. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. That's experiential knowledge. You shall know intimately. You shall experience the truth. When you've tasted and you've seen, you don't have an argument. You got an experience. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth. You'll experience it. And the truth will make you free. You know, the most powerful thing you have in your possession is your testimony. Man, I've witnessed to a lot of individuals and they'll start debating about this and about miracles being over and all that. And I said, wait a minute. I was bound in my trespasses and sins. And one of the best testimonies I know of is my brother, who's 9 years older than I. He was an alcoholic, a compulsive gambler, a womanizer, and I always said he wasn't in the bottom of the barrel, he was under it. And Pastor Nichols said it was probably one of the top two conversions of his ministry he's witnessed. And he played a major role in seeing my brother come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. I've known this brother here for 55 years. Anybody here known him longer than that? Besides his wife right here. So we've had a life connection for 55 years. But my brother wasn't in the bottom of the barrel, he was under it. And I saw my brother January 1st, 1966. Heard about it, didn't see it, but heard about it. He fell on his knees in his rocking chair in the front room of his house when his world had literally crumbled around him. Lost his job, he had 4 precious children, beautiful wife. Wow, he was a mess. I didn't even like him. And I was a sinner. And he gave his heart to Jesus.
Yes.
And I didn't, you know, I heard about it and I thought, I just wrote it off and said, he's just got religion, he's just trying to appease, you know, his wife and, you know, some family members and all. But when I came down to Fort Worth in May of 1966, I saw it firsthand. And I looked into my brother's eyes, and it wasn't the old man, it was the new man. It was in his eyes. You could see life in his eyes. You could hear him talk. No. You could hear him talk. It was life. It was good. It was uplift. All that evil, all that heaviness, all that oppression was gone. It was off of his marriage, off of his children, off of his home. And I was under conviction. And people back in Canadian, Texas, where I was living at the time, had been witnessing to me. It was a Holy Ghost setup. People down here praying for me, and people up there witnessing to me, and And I accepted an invitation to go to church with my brother. This is where Sister Joyce's dad, he founded the church, and her brother, Dwight. And I went to church with my brother, and that night I had a God encounter. Now, God had been convincing me my need of him, and he had been talking to me, dealing with me. But I had to go hear a preacher. Isn't that something? Through the foolishness of preaching. Through the foolishness of preaching. God ordained that men would be saved. Captive audience. That's why I tell you, shut up if you try to help me preach. I'm doing the preaching. The Holy Ghost is doing the convicting. Holy Spirit's doing the drawing. Because he wants to draw people to his Father. No man can come to the Father unless he's drawn by the Spirit. Amen? And that night I slid into a mourner's bench. They still had mourner's benches at your dad's church. A lot of people don't know what that is. That's an altar, a bench, an actual altar bench. Now, I understand you don't have to have a bench to have an altar. You can make an altar anywhere, but you know, this is a sacred area, and this is an altar area, and you come down here, and you transact kingdom business in the altar. And I slid into that mourner's bench that night, and I became a new creation. And I haven't been the same since.
Hallelujah.
Now, listen to me. I had to go to a church and hear a preacher convince me that I needed Jesus. And I was under the conviction of the Holy Ghost just about every night I went to bed. I'd be driving down the road in my delivery truck, and the Holy Ghost was there and just talking to me. I mean, people would witness to me and they'd leave, but what they said wouldn't leave.
Yeah.
Words are powerful. Now listen, I'm going to get to my point, so this segue, so I can get to what I'm going to preach today. And I really got saved. I mean, I got born again. Now, Canadians, they'll look at you like a tree full of owls when you say born again. But us Southerners, we know what born again means. Passed from death to life. New creation. I got born again. Everybody in my town knew I got born again. My boss knew I got born again. My dog knew I got born again. That's pretty convincing when your dog knows you're born again, I tell you. Man, I'm a teetotaler. I'd have been an alcoholic. I'd have been a good sinner. You know what I mean? A good sinner. I mean, I'd have left no stone unturned looking for ways to do my own thing. That's what sin is, doing your own thing. But I got rescued. I got saved from myself.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you.
I got saved from myself. And I was serious. I had no idea where I was going at the time. I had not made any discoveries. I just knew I was zealous for God. And I heard the Lord say to me as clearly as I've ever heard him before or since, tell me you moved to Fort Worth, Texas, and you attach yourself to Pastor Bob Nichols. Now, that wasn't the church. I went over and I went to church with my brother on Riverside. And I went to church with my brother, and that's where I knelt at the altar and gave my heart to the Lord. And that's where my family was going, my mom and dad. My relatives were going. Pastor had pioneered a church in 1964 over on Berry Street. Many of you have heard the story. And I came along in 66 after most of the hard work was already done. Construction, you know, tearing down. You be around this guy, you're going to be building something. But in 1966, the Lord said, go attach your... Notice he didn't say, go to that church or that church. You know, it wasn't Yellow Pages. Attend the church of your choice. No. When God goes to bless you, he connects you to people. And you know, we need God, but you know what? We're not going to really find out who God is and everything we need to know about God until we're connected to a man of God. I know it's really good. Whoever said that, that's really good. Most of you don't, you didn't catch it. Some of you didn't catch it because it went choom. Some of you just choom, rejected it. You can be wrong if you want to. But you're not going to know everything you need to know about God until you're submitted to your man of God. I would not be where I am. I'm 69 years old. I'm just not a pup. I didn't get off the bus a while ago and walk in here. I don't have three sermons I preach everywhere I go. But God knew what he was doing. I didn't know what God was doing. He said, move from Canadian, Texas down to Fort Worth, Texas, and connect yourself to this man of God. You see, when I was a teenager, since 1955, when I was a teenager, he came in as an associate over there at my folks' church. So I had my eye on him. And I watched him. You know what the Bible says? Everybody say the Bible says. Does the Bible, does the Word of God really impact your life? I heard a great statement the other day. I'm going to have to preach on it sometime. Series. And this man of God said this. He said, one of the main reasons why people are not witnessing like they should, and they're not really vocal about the things of God as they should be, is because they're not allowing the Word of God in the presence of God to impact their lives like they should. People who are not witnessing, people are not bold to declare the things of God, it's because other things are impacting their life. Something else is taking precedent over the Word of God. I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about the Glenn Beck Restoring Love rally. You know what? It impacted us. It was impossible for a pastor to get up there and not say something because that impacted us last night. If something, you know, you go to a Texas Ranger game. Did they win last night? I don't know. They didn't? Oh, bless their hearts. They're in trouble. But, you know, you go to a ball. I brought my Canadian buddies down here last year. We went to watch Texas Rangers play Toronto Blue Jays. And some of my Canucks, they went and bought them some Blue Jay caps. But the Rangers beat them. And I didn't quit talking about that. The fireworks went off, but long after the fireworks quit going off, I was still, you know, just kind of, you know. Because I was impressed. My team won. When something impacts you, you talk about it. Why are you not talking about the things of God? Why don't people speak anymore about bringing the king back? Because we're not looking for the king. We're looking for something else. America's hope, the world's hope. Listen to me, guys. The world's hope is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this building is not the church. You are the church. This building is this where we come together so we can allow a man of God who's got a proven track record, who's been further up a tree than most of us have been out of town. Can impact our lives. And if you're here today and you say you don't need to be impacted by God, you're deceived. You're really deceived. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 3. Say, thank God for the word. Wow. And I will give you shepherds, verse 15. according to my heart. Everybody say my heart. Notice that word my is capitalized, so that's God talking. I will give you shepherds according to my heart. And he was talking about our day. He was not talking old covenant time. He was talking new covenant time. He said, I'm going to give you shepherds after my heart. Now notice what he says. Who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now I've got a Spirit-filled life Bible, and so there's a word wealth there because understanding is in bold print. And there in the word wealth concerning understanding, it says this, the word is occasionally translated prosper. And the world is seeking after prosperity, but they're seeking it in the wrong places. They've let the world define what prosperity is when really and truly you ought to only allow the Word of God to define the word prosper. Nobody wants you to prosper like God wants you to prosper. We've heard pastors say it a zillion times, and I've said it a zillion myself. God will do better for you than you'd ever do for yourself, darling. So you can get off your pity parties and quit talking about how bad you got and so on and so forth. I'm here to tell you, God wants you to succeed. But you can't succeed unless you get understanding. And you're not going to get understanding in a university. You're not necessarily going to get it over at the Christian bookstore. Come on, somebody. Or listen to Christian TV. You can get real confused and messed up there if you're not careful. But I tell you what, the local church where God has planted you, the local church where God has called you, and fulfilling God's will, plan, and purpose for you in that local church, if you will understand why, gain understanding of why God even ordained and designed and created a local church. He did it for our benefit. I said it this way, and I've said it many times because it's true. The local church could have made it without me, but I could never make it without the local church. The local church could have made it without my family and all my family. We have four children. I want to say we because my wife had a part of that. Four children, and our daughters are married to men. They're in full-time service in the Lord, for the Lord. Pastoring, serving full time. Our two sons work with us in Saskatoon. They're ministers of the gospel. We got 9 grandchildren and 1 on the way. Our youngest just announced today at our church. They got another one coming. Praise God. So that makes 10. I know I don't look that old. 10 grandchildren. But listen to me. We're serving God. You know why? Because they saw Dad connect to a man of God, submit to a man of God. They didn't have a dad that said, don't do as I do, just do as I say. No, you follow me. I'm going to be like Abraham. You follow me as I follow the Lord. No, you don't have to. I'm just an example. You follow me as I follow the Lord. Come on. If you live as clean as I live, you're going to be okay. Come on, if it's wrong for my 12-year-old to watch porno, it's wrong for the 69-year-old to watch porno. Come on, somebody. If it's wrong for my 12-year-old to sip intoxicating drink, it's wrong for the 69-year-old to sip intoxicating drink. Why? Because we're influencers. They're impressionable. They may slip and they may fall and they may do some things, but listen to me, we can go and correct them and we can train them and we can get understanding in them so they won't fall into the pit where they can't find their way out. But if I'm not connected to my man of God, I'm not going to gain understanding about marriage. Most people don't have the clue what marriage is all about or how the laws and the principles of God's word govern marriage. And that's why there's so much divorce. It's a problem in every church. It's a problem in our society. They don't have an understanding of what it means to parent. Yes, so true. And we're losing the next generation. Because parents, it's because of daddy and mama in the home do not have an understanding regarding God's word concerning parenting. Our children are not serving God just because they got our DNA and we just happen to have, Tracy and I have the right chemistry and everything's this hunky-dory because, my God, your chemistry was just great. It was a match. Gee. Obviously, you never lived with me. Nothing to do with chemistry. Nothing to do with DNA. Not unless it's Holy Ghost DNA. It was my willingness, my wife's willingness to bow our knees and submit ourselves to the laws of God. Allow God to speak into our life and lead us and correct us. Most men today don't have a relationship with a man of God where a man of God could, stand up here, Mark, where a man of God could look at him in the eye and say, Mark, listen to me. I'm really concerned. I want to speak to you about some things and bring correction. Mm-hmm. Most men don't have that relationship with their man of God. I ask the question. I ask preachers this question. Who is it that could look you in the eye and talk to you about things that are flaws, character flaws in your life? Who is it? And they'll mention some colleague of theirs. Give me strength. Do you think brothers can train brothers? No, brothers compete. You have to have fathers. You have to have spiritual fathers just like you got to have natural fathers. That's what's wrong with America. It's a fatherless country for the most part. Wow, we could go really deep here. But if you're not connected with your man of God, you won't gain understanding. You know, when I started pastoring, wow. I'm sure glad he didn't have an unlisted number. We didn't even have cell phones. But you know what? I could call, or I could call his wife, and his wife wouldn't cover for him and say, well, he's too busy, he can't talk to you. She'd give me his number. One time he's up in Colorado, really just on his face before God, crying out for direction here for the life of Calvary. And here's a spiritual son just tugging on him. I said, Pastor, I got to have help. I'll be right there. He jumps in his little, what, Carmen Ghia, little sports car. Jumps in that sucker from way up in Colorado, drives down. Wheeler, Texas. Spends 24 hours with me. Pulls my buns out of the fire. Gives me some understanding about something that could have shipwrecked me. And he helped me. Gets his little Carmen Ghia and drives back up there. Didn't give him a dime. He never asked for a dime. That's the kind of man of God we have. He'll give himself. Why? Because he knows. See, we don't withhold ourselves from people. We just got to stay clear of the people that are users. So many users. Oh, I'm called here. I thank God I found this place. And oh, I've been looking for a place like this. And 2 weeks, you don't see them anymore. But people who come in and they willfully submit themselves. I know these people. I know these people. But some people, you know, I hear, well, I've been hurt by so many people. Well, you've gone to the wrong people. You've given your heart to the wrong people. That's why we tell little teenage girls, don't give your heart to that sucker over there. He just wants your stuff. He doesn't want you. And after he uses you up, and then you're going to give your heart to this one and give your heart to that one, pretty soon you're going to be so messed up, you're going to have real difficulty having a solid marriage. The reason why I could open up and be transparent with this man of God is because I knew the Spirit of the Lord told me, said, go attach yourself to this man of God. And so I could do that. And I was doing that when it wasn't popular. I was doing it when nobody was preaching it. I was doing it before I fully understood the significance of why God told me to do it. All I have to do is have a word from God on the matter. This is like coming down to Fort Worth at this time. I had a word from God on the matter. And it doesn't matter what happens back up there. It doesn't matter what happens down here. If I've got God's word on the matter, then it's okay. God's going to take care of everything there and everything here because I got God's word on the matter. Now, understanding. Matthew 28. Now, listen to me. The fulfillment of what we read in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. The fulfillment is over here in Ephesians chapter 4. And this is what Jesus said when he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave before he ascended back to the right hand of his Father. It says in verse 8, Ephesians chapter 4, therefore he says, Jesus says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. That was all of the people who were in covenant and were in Abraham's bosom. That's paradise referred to in the Old Testament. And he gave gifts to men. And these gifts are listed here in verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Now listen to me now. You've got to help people here because they don't understand this. The gifts he gave were not to Pastor Nichols. The gifts he gave were not to Keith Johnson. What he did, he put this man of God as a young man in training, and then he got him prepared, and then he put him in the office of a pastor. And that office of the pastor is the gift he gave to you. It's not the gift he gave to him. It's the gift he gave to you. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher are gifts to you. Why? To equip you. You cannot be equipped. But I got a correspondence course.
That's right. Yeah, that's good.
And he gave gifts to men. Now listen to me now. Now, that doesn't mean now that you have to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher before you can minister. Every Christian ministers.
Right.
So Ephesians 4:11 are not ministry gifts. Don't ever refer to them as ministry because that's not what they are. They're leadership gifts. And Pastor, you and I heard it years ago from an old Baptist preacher, years ago, back in the 1900s. Where this great man of God? He said, everything rises or falls on leadership. Well, what a true statement. This house has risen and stayed strong, came through the fires, came through the floods, come on, came through the tornadoes, come through any test or trial. It will stay strong. Huh? It will stay strong. Because it's founded on a solid foundation. Because there's a man of God at the helm who knows how to hear from God. Now, you know, we got a lot of armchair quarterbacks in sports, don't we? They're in church, too. If I was him, I'd do this. Problem is, Mac, you ain't him. You're sitting in the back of the bus, not even where close near to the steering wheel of the bus. And if you were under the steering wheel of the bus and had all the pressure and in the wisdom and the knowledge of the years and wisdom and knowledge and revelation of the Word of God under your belt, then you would know how to make a quick decision when you had to make it. You just want to make sure you're on the right bus and leave the steering to us. Leave the driving to the driver who was appointed by head of the church, Jesus, to drive the bus. I don't like who's driving the bus. Then you need to go talk to Jesus about it. And good thing about this bus, it has stop places and you can get off. Doesn't have bars on the windows, padlocks on the doors, you can get off. But when those suckers, those rebels get off and they're starting hollering and saying nasty things about the man of God, you better not let them be the influencers on you, and you get off when they get off. Because that might be your end. Wow. Wow! This is important. Now let me make this, how many know what principles are? Principles don't change. Feelings, emotions, you know, things, but there are principles of the Word of God and they're unchangeable. They're timeless. And they don't change. And you know, I always say this, the Word of God is the same before you pray, while you pray, and after you pray. The Word doesn't change. Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever, He doesn't change. Word of God's the same. Jesus is the same. Before your loved one got sick, while your loved one was sick, and after your loved one died. Jesus didn't change. God's Word didn't change. So you're not going to find any fault in the Word, and you're not going to find any fault in God for your problem. And you're never going to get understanding on those things if you're not connected to a man of God. Let me emphasize that over and over. You're not going to gain understanding of, well, why did that happen? Why did that happen? Listen to me. When you need to know, if you're in the place you're supposed to be in, then it will be revealed to you. And if it's not revealed to you, you don't need to know. It's none of your business. Let me make a principle. Let me state a principle here, and it's a powerful. I wrote this down, and I want you to. God doesn't lead. Everything rises and falls on leadership, and these leadership gifts are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Come on, we're not your hirelings. We're not doing your work for you. We're here to equip you with the Word of God. We're here to help you discover what your gifts are. We're here to help develop your gifts. We're here to help you discover what your assignment is. Because everybody has an assignment. It's not just a 9-to-5 job. Our assignment has to do with advancing the kingdom of God. Everything else is just a secondary. Advancing the kingdom of God is what's important. Not advancing your resume. Come on, somebody. Advancing the kingdom of God. And we can talk for hours on that, and you've been taught well, but I just want to put things in your perspective. But this is a principle. God doesn't lead by force. God doesn't lead by force. He leads by your level of submission to authority. That didn't even wake some of you up. Some of you still sleeping. I got that, and they're writing it down. Others, that's a great truth, though, gang. God does not lead us by force. He leads us by our level of submission to authority. Now here's a good scripture. Say thank God for the Word. Don't you love the Word? It is found, this good scripture, I didn't include it in my notes here. It's such a good scripture. But you know what? I know where it's found. It is found over in 2 Corinthians. Excuse me. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Listen to this, verse 10. Apostle Paul's writing. We're talking about authority. Submission to authority. Our submission to authority. See, authority is a dirty word in the 21st century among rebels. People that don't want to submit, authority's a bad word. But listen to what the Apostle Paul said here to the Christians at Corinth and to the Christians here at Calvary Cathedral International. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. That's powerful. Now let me read out of the Message Bible. Just that last part, part B. The authority the Master gave me is for people, for putting people together, not taking them apart. You hear that? Paul says, the authority the Master gave me, the authority that the Master gave, the fivefold leadership gives, is not for taking people apart, it's for putting them together. But you got to understand, when I came to Calvary Evangelistic Temple, 1966, on Berry Street, sin had ruled in my life for all those years. And sin messes you up. Sin messes this up real big. Yeah? Sin messes this up real big. It's kind of like scrambled eggs, you know. Mess it up. That's what sin did to us. Messed us up. So the Lord said, now you go and attach yourself to Pastor Bob Nichols. You know why? Because the Lord wants to give me understanding. You know, it's not information you need. You think it is. It's not information you need. You need understanding. Information will blow your fat head up even fatter. And a lot of people are on an information quest. Many people have left our church because they became smarter than me. Young lady in our church that we helped win to the Lord, I mean, her life was transformed. She got healed of an incurable disease for sleeping on the beach in Australia for 3 years and had venereal disease. It was incurable. But she got healed from that. But she met this guy, and this guy comes in. And he convinced her he was her knight in shining armor. She had some problems. She had some problems. She could not keep her passions in control, in check. That's why she lived on the beach in Australia for 3 years. It's her own admission. Nonetheless, this young man comes in. He's a professing Christian. He looks good on the outside, but his brains are scrambled. And he tells her, I can't stay here because I'd have to go correct him. You know what? She bought that. She bought that pile of stuff. Can you imagine that? There's people who follow anything. It depends on what you're after. What are you after? Are you after a God? Are you a God chaser? You're pursuing God? Are you pursuing, you know, what? Are you wanting to see what God sees, or are you just wanting to do your own thing? If you're a Christian, your life is not your own. If you're a Christian, you ought to want to be pursuing what God is pursuing, the things of God. You ought to want to see what God sees. I need your word on the matter. Just like Moses, if your glory doesn't go with us, we ain't going. That's God, the presence of God. I'm not going on his word or her word or their word. I'm going on God's word. And if I'm going on God's word, then I don't have a problem coming and submitting it to my man of God. And let my man of God confirm that. When I went to Wheeler, the man of God sent me. I didn't went. I was sent. There's only 25, greener than a gourd. Didn't know how to go out and come in real good. But I did know that I was connected to a man of God. So I was sent. That was my Bible school. That was my training. Because the most lively thing in that church at the time was the ivy growing up the wall. 18 people, town of 1,116, not a lot of action. So it's a good place, you know, not a great challenge. I wasn't ready to take on New York City yet. But that's where God called me. I had preachers later on that came and said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Have you ever heard of the will of God? I'm here because the Lord sent me here." I had three other churches that called me while I was in Wheeler, and they said, "We want you to come and pastor our church because we understand you're having great success there." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, I'm not your man. How come you know? How come you know you're not our man?" And I said, "Because God never told me." And God told me I'd never discover His will by telephone call. That's a novel idea, isn't it? If I didn't hear it in prayer, God hadn't been speaking to me ahead of time, somebody comes up and prophesies, that prophecy is going on the shelf over there. And if it's truth, it's got shelf life. It's got preservatives in it. It's got shelf life. And I'll go pick that up when I need to pick it up. It'll still be alive. It'll still be where. Oh, yeah, I remember that man of God spoke that. Yeah, yeah, that's what this applies to. Yeah, yeah, there it goes. But I'm not going to take, I'm not going to move one stick of furniture. Like one Pentecostal, he got a call from my big church, and he was pastoring a little church, and they invited him to come and take the pastor to this big church. So his wife said, "Who was that?" I said, "That was the soup, and he wants us to come and take that church." "What do you say?" "Well, I'll tell you what. I'll go pray and you go pack." Now, the prayer ain't going to do any good. He already has his mind made. He's going. "You go pack. I'm going to go pray." Yeah. No, don't even pack. Don't even think about giving your heart away. Don't even think about going. Go there, come back, and don't go there until you've heard a word from God on the matter. Are you listening? This is really, really, really important. So that's why God connects me to a man of God, so I could have understanding. I could have understanding. And I would know why it works this way. And I will know why it doesn't work this way. See, I'm taught by precept and example. I learned by watching this couple. You know what? My wife and I governed our marriage in the way we pastored by watching this couple. But pastor, we'd talk to the Lord. "Lord, now we saw Pastor Bob and Sister Joy, you know, and this, you know." You can learn by precept and example. So we learn by watching. And then we got the revelation on the Word of God they taught. And because he was open to Brother Hagin's ministry, I became open to Brother Hagin's ministry. If he said, "Don't touch that over there, I won't touch. I don't ask that questions. I just won't touch that teaching over there. I won't touch it." Are you a clone? Do I look like one? Do I act like one? No. But I got understanding. Where'd I get it? I got it from submitting myself to the man of God that God told me to submit to. And you know, there's guys that run around wow, they got them a new pastor every 2 years. "He's my pastor now. Hire a pastor. Yellow Pages, get a hire a pastor." That's not the way it works. Are you listening? You got to understand this. God has tremendous plans for all of us. But he's not going to be able to get us where he wants to take us unless we get understanding. And you're not going to get understanding by your own correspondence course at home. "Where's Johnny tonight?" "Oh, he's home in the Word." I doubt it. I would doubt it very seriously. Home in the Word. I didn't think the Dallas Cowboys were preaching the Word right now. Or the hockey game in Canada. So the authority. You know what authority means? In a simple definition, listen to this. This could help you. Authority is looked upon as a very evil word, but it's not. Corporations use it all the time. It means authorization. It means Jesus, who is the head of his church, authorized him to function in the office that he functions in, and the office he functions in is a gift to you. And you didn't authorize him to do that. It wasn't your vote that gave him the authorization. It was the head of the church, Jesus, that gave him the authorization. Now, if you don't submit to that, it's not going to benefit you. You know, it's like in parenting, in child training, you discipline a child. What is discipline? Something you do for the child, not to the child. It's something you do for the child. Now, if you discipline the child and the child's attitude, that's what you want to change. There's a direct link from here to here. Right here to here. Direct link. Hotline. If you never could get their attention with anything else, bend them over, give them three swats, you can get their attention pretty fast. But listen to me now. If they're after you discipline a child, if their attitude doesn't change, discipline didn't occur. And if discipline doesn't occur, it's because the person, the recipient, closed off to it and are stubborn and rebellious. Now, we pastor people who are like that to us. And like I'm preaching the word this morning, there's some of you, some are closed. It is that way. It is that way. They did it with Jesus. If they did it with him, they'll do it with me. They just close it off. I don't want to hear that. I'm closing my ears to that. Well, see, you're on a terrible, terrible road. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. Who could help you, son? Who could help you? Is there anybody? No, I'm an old man. Oh, that's dangerous. You know more than Jesus. You know it's an act of the will? It's an act of the will. And I blame a lot of this spirit of our age on a lack of parenting, because if the parents would have trained their children to submit to authority, then they would have respect for authority. And they would understand that, you know, Pastor Nichols is not a lone ranger. Keith Johnson is not a lone ranger. We're submitted to authority. We believe that. We've been authorized by God to do what we're doing, but we still willfully stand under. We stand. That's what submit means, stand under. It's like an umbrella. When it's raining, put the sucker on and stand under. And the umbrella does what it's designed to do, keep him getting wet. When you stand under the man of God, there's a canopy of protection. I don't have time to teach you all this, but you've been taught well. But one of the benefits of being a part of a New Testament local church, submitted to a New Testament pastor, is the devil cannot do everything to you that he wants to do, because there's a canopy of protection. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that that man who was living with his father's wife should be cast out of the church. Turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. How do you do that? You put him out of church. Why? Because the church, the local church, is a canopy of protection. There's a lot of benefits for being a part of a New Testament local church. But it's not just a one-way street. It's a place where you can come and give, but it's also a place you're going to receive. And let me tell you something, you'll always receive way more than you'll ever give. Let me look at my notes and see if there's anything that I need to say before we close here that I haven't said. I know this, and let me say this. I heard one of my spiritual sons make this statement. It's a great truth. It's a principle of the Word of God. If you let the devil steal the authorities in your life, you are allowing him to steal your future. We know that's true, don't we? If you allow, I've watched guys pull out from under the ordained, God-ordained God authorization, authority, leader in that person's life. He willfully pulled himself up under it so he could go do what he knew that man of God would never give him permission to do. It's not for taking you apart, it's for keeping you together. You know, and a good parent, you know, the little kid's got something in his hand that's going to be dangerous and it could jeopardize his well-being. A good parent's going to take that away. A good pastor's going to say, no, here, let me have that. No, you don't need that. Oh, he's just an authoritarian. He's a dictator. I've been called worse, but yeah, we've been called that. Boy, he's trying to save you from yourself. But if you let the devil steal the authorities in your life, not everybody's an authority in your life. I'm not an authority in your life. But if you let the devil steal the authorities in your life, there ought to be some authorities in your life. But if you let the devil steal the authorities in life, you let him steal your future. Because he'll take you where you really don't want to go. But the reason why you willfully go there is because you don't really have understanding of who he is and what he's wanting to do. He comes, Jesus told us, he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Amen? But God. But see, I got to work with God. I got to submit to the will, the plan, the purpose of God. Now, getting people to follow God has always been a major problem. Just read your Bible. Adam. Cain. Abraham. Just to mention a few. I mean, Abraham didn't give up, and that's why it ended well. But boy, he had a lot of problems. Didn't he? Ishmael, one of them, eh? Every time you pull into the gas station, you're reminded of that one. Doesn't this cost you? It's my business. No. You don't live on an island. You don't live in isolation. No. What you do is going to affect others. And you're going to give an account to God for it. So use your influence for righteousness' sake, not unrighteousness' sake. There have been a lot of things I wouldn't have done as a teenager if I didn't allow one of my friends to influence me. Because I knew better. Really, I knew better. Who are you listening to? Who are you submitted to? Solemn assembly, eh? These are principles, folks. It's not a sermon. This is a life. This is a life lesson. And just in capsule form, it just kind of gives you an overview of my life and how I got to where I am. And I could never have made it unless I had submitted to the Almighty and allow him to lead me through his representative. You got that? Father, we're thankful today for your goodness. We could not in any way overemphasize how good you are. I know we say you're good and then we'll say, well, you're good all the time, and that's an understatement. And we know the thoughts that you have for us. And we're excited about them. Lord, when we submit our ways to your ways, God, we're excited. We can be excited about tomorrow, even though today looks pretty bleak. We can be excited about tomorrow. Because we've read the end of the book. We know we win. And we believe the Word of God, where it's recorded that you always lead us in triumph. We believe that. Even though there's a problem taking place today, we don't believe you're responsible for that problem. But we believe you got a solution that will take us victorious through the problem, out the other side of the problem, and it'll end in triumph and not defeat. We believe that. We know that about you, and that's why we trust you with all of our heart. We don't lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge you, and you do direct our paths. Don't know everything about tomorrow. Know some things because you've given us some prophetic previews. And Lord, those prophetic previews is what keeps our hopes up. We have a blessed hope. Confident expectation about the future. But Lord, there's some pretty things on the horizon. There's some pretty difficult things, pretty dark things on the horizon here of planet Earth right now. Gross darkness is covering the earth. But God, we also got a revelation and insight from you. Your glory is covering the earth as well. So that's why we want to connect with your glory. We don't want to connect with those dark evil influences. We don't want to connect with that. We don't want in any way, shape, form, or fashion submit ourselves to that. We want to submit ourselves, oh God, to you. So we can walk in the light as you're in the light. And so we can experience your glory even in the midst of trying, difficult times here on the earth. God, you're the only one that makes a way where there seems to be no way. You're the only one. You're the only one that does all things well. You're the only one. You're the only one that can exceed tomorrow what you did yesterday. Yes. There's no one like you, Lord.